This is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
After 12 o'clock, welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Chevron. We are efforting, keyword efforting, to get Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. I have found this. Mark and Brian, they're harder to get a hold of these days. Because it's crazy there. I mean, because when they tell you there's going to be like a press conference or something, you got to be ready to rock and roll. Because I do agree. Like, most of the things primetime says, I lean in. I'm very interested to hear what he has to say. I'm also interested to hear what this guy has to say, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, joining us. Mark, my friend, great to catch up with you.
Yeah, nobody ever leans into what I have to say, though. That's the problem.
Hey, I'm leaning right now, to be fair. I mean, I'm just kind of like, you know, put my elbows on the table, but I'm leaning.
Sure, I did. No, how about that game last weekend, man?
Mark, that was... It was an amazing game, an instant classic, and apparently most of the country agreed. It was phenomenal. 9 million, 11 million peaked. I mean, this is what I've always dreamt of in a Rocky Mountain showdown.
Oh, it really was a fantastic game. And listen, I give full credit. CSU played hard. They came and played really hard. And had a great game plan in that game and, you know, went back and forth, obviously, and Colorado pulled it out at the end. But, yeah, super excitement. The atmosphere was electric. You just mentioned the television viewing numbers and the streaming numbers, and we've looked at some of the stuff that came through at ours, and, you know, I mean, it's stunning the amount of attention that's being paid to Colorado football right now.
Yeah, Mark, I was going to ask you personally on that side, with your radio coverage, I mean, that's got to be blowing up, too. People tuning in, obviously, for the games, but the pre- and the post-game coverage, all that goes into it, people just can't get enough Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah, I was trying to tell Gary, it's only they're just tuning in to hear he and I speak, but he doesn't seem to buy that as much as I wanted to tell him. But, yeah, it's you know, it really is stunning. And you and I have kind of talked about this in the past, about what Prime has done, the Prime effect. And, you know, one of the guys from Buff Vision the other day sent me a couple of the data, if you will, from some of the streaming stuff that we put on, like our, you know, Buffalo Stampede television show and some of the other interviews we've done. And it is startling. I mean, just mind-blowing. The amount of spins that these shows and these features and stuff we're doing are getting. You know, last week for the Buffs Primetime show, the kind of coaches show we do with Dion, I mean, it was something like 60, 70 million people were streaming it as it was live. And,
wow.
You know, and a couple of days later, it was 150,000 or whatever it was. I mean, just crazy numbers. I mean, it really is quite something to witness.
Well, I see it on social media. If I happen to be tweeting something that could potentially be controversial, for example, the Rocky Mountain Showdown, talking about the Henry Blackburn hit and all that stuff, I saw people commenting on my Twitter feed that I never knew existed, yeah. And I see numbers go crazy, and I was called some nasty things, Mark. So, I mean, it's part of it. I think we get that when we get into the media, but we say this every week. We've never seen anything like it.
No, exactly right. And, you know, that's kind of the elephant in the room, the Henry Blackburn.
Sure.
Thing. I thought Coach Prime coming out yesterday with his comments were very good, or were Sav-like, you know, kind of going over that, and, you know, Travis Hunter came out and made his comments, and listen, it's a rivalry. I appreciate the heated back and forth. Rivalries can bring out the best in all of us. They can bring out the worst in all of us at times. Was it a questionable hit? Sure, it was a questionable hit. He was penalized for it. I got, you know, people are like, why didn't he get called for targeting? Well, targeting, by the letter of the rule, is leading with your helmet and what they're looking for in that regard. So it didn't fall under that. If there should be something done beyond that, that's up to the governing bodies. And the one thing that I'm really disappointed by was the fact that, you know, here it is, Henry Blackburn's a kid from Colorado, went to Boulder Fairview, and obviously there's been some nasty stuff that has gone on there, and that's disappointing and totally uncalled for. And I was appreciating Coach Prime's comments about that yesterday.
I won't name any names, Mark, but sources that people that I'm close to at CSU, I do know that after Primetime made his statement about that, I have it on good authority that helped Henry Blackburn a lot. Helped that he felt a lot better. He was obviously going through it. I mean, we're hearing death threats. People are accusing him of rape, which was actually a different student that it was a teammate of his. But I do think that that went a long way, and it went a long way with a lot of people. I am one of those guys that really am. I'm entertained by primetime. I find myself fascinated by everything he does. But then there's also little moments once in a while where I'm motivated by what he does, or I'm amazed by what he does. Yesterday, I just applauded him because that was what needed to happen, and he did it.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, I'm sitting in that press conference, and you know the way press conferences are. They're not events in which you cheer or you encourage. And I had to, being an old, grizzled veteran of this business, I had to kind of catch myself because I just started clapping. Because it was the appropriate thing from a leadership standpoint for Prime to do, and I appreciated that. But, you just said something that has always been bothersome to me. Being a journalist is a responsibility, okay? What we do in this business is a responsibility. When we put something out there, we have sources and we confirm and all these kind of things. And I knew about that deal with Henry's teammate. I knew that story when it happened a few years ago. And all of a sudden he gets dragged into that. And that's what you call being totally irresponsible. And that's why social media is not journalism.
Yeah.
Okay? Social media is rumor mongering. Social media is water cooler talk. That's what it is. And so that's where it becomes very dangerous, because what happens then? Emotions are running high. Somebody throws that out there. All of a sudden, Henry Blackburn goes from being a guy who made a questionable play in a game to all of a sudden being an awful human being and have some of the worst allegations thrown at him you possibly can, and that's not okay. We've blurred that line between journalism and social media in recent years, and it's always been concerning to me, and I think this is a prime example right here.
And on that side, too, because you're going to get fans that have the same access, unless you're paying for it, of course, but ultimately the same access as we have to X. And we're guys that are around these players and coaches. We hear them speak fully, and we've covered those stories. Like you said, Mark, you knew about that story, but you have these fans, supporters, whatever, that have the same access, and then they start spewing things. I saw one of the posts of somebody saying that it was Henry Blackburn with the rape case a few years ago.
Yep.
That post, Mark, had 4.7 million views on it, and that is what's so dangerous.
Yeah, it's terrifying that somebody can just go out there and make this declaration on social media. And most of the time it's, Joe Schmo that's got no connection to anything, and it's like wildfire then. Years ago, I thought it was kind of funny. I'm totally blanking on his name right now. Colin Cowherd.
Mm.
Colin Cowherd was on the air years ago, and I was listening to him, and he was talking about some story that was going on, and Cowherd, being a guy that's a veteran in the business and highly connected in the business, had some guy call him up and basically take the task of that. And Cowherd said, "Oh, sure. I'm the guy that calls directly and talks to general managers and athletes and coaches and agents and get the entire story. You're Bob the Plumber, but I'm sure you've got much better credibility than I do." And I chuckled when he said that at the time because it was rather snide, but there's a point to that. That when you have the responsibility of having, in your case, call letters behind your name, or if you've got the Denver Post behind your name, or Channel 4 or Channel 9 or whatever it is, and you're standing on the reputation of that outlet, there's responsibility that comes with that. And it's much greater than, Bob or Jimmy or whomever that's just out there and has a Twitter account. And that's why that is so dangerous, and that's why it can be so damning, to hear that tweet that was totally wrong, had four point some million views on it already. Think about the damage that's done from a reputation standpoint for a young man, and it's entirely untrue.
It could be something that's there, even though we know it's not true, but this guy goes to get a job or something, that might surface, and the fact that it would surface even for a question, and who knows, even more, it might. Some people might look at that and go, oh no, this came up 5, 10 years ago, we're not even going to give this guy a second interview. That's what you're doing, and that's what we really want. People have got to figure this out. I don't think they will, ultimately. Not everybody will. But, it's like this. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, joining us. Mark, I was thinking about putting, for a split second, and then it went away. Monday or Tuesday, I was going to put, something along the lines of, should Henry Blackburn have been ejected from the game or something. And then I got to thinking. I was like, you know what? I don't want to invite any more because I've already seen it and it's been crazy. We're not even going to touch that. But the sad thing is, Mark, I know there are a lot of media members that would not give that a second thought and they would just go at that as quickly as possible.
One of my favorite movies of all time is Tombstone. There's a great scene in there where Wyatt Earp says to Johnny Ringo, "I'm not going to fight you, Ringo. There's no money in it." Mm. And I love that line because of, you know, when you continue to go to those sensationalistic topic matters or directions, eventually it ends up eating you up. And there is no money in it. There's no point in it. There's no positive that comes out of that. And you know, we've become, I think, in large part, there's some young men I mentor. I talk to them all the time. We have become a society that is based on emotion. And so something happened to somebody that I like and a team that I like, and so I am going to go out of my mind, and objectivity totally disappears. And you can't listen to reason. You know, I've obviously in the last few days had conversations with the people about this. And you can't reason. You can't talk with. You can't explain. You can't lay out facts. You can't. I mean, it's really stunning to witness. And it's not just in the world of sports. We're seeing that everywhere, obviously, in our society. And it's disappointing. It's frustrating. And ultimately, it's damaging to the institutions of our country.
Yeah, and we have to be careful. It's no longer just a fun little Twitter thing where you can get on and say whatever you want. These have real-life meaning to them, and they can really destroy student-athletes, yep, coaches. I mean, my goodness, like Jay Norvell, I follow his wife on Twitter. We follow each other there, and she is tweeting out. She's getting some nasty things said to her. And because, you know, whether we agree or disagree on Norvell's comments, at the end of the day, it was about sunglasses. I mean, that's where I look at it. And we've gone to this just absolutely dangerous territory.
Well, do you know what we're dealing with in large part? And this is not just a set of circumstances that explains what we were talking about here. It's everywhere in society. I'm always amazed, you know, you see somebody make a comment about some athlete somewhere. Now whether it's fair or not, that can be up for debate. But those who love this athlete just go out of their mind in defense of, as if somehow that's going to better their existence, right? Mm-hmm. And my point is always, you know, we're dealing with idolatry in some respects there.
Sure.
I mean, I appreciate fandom. I appreciate supporting. I appreciate, you know, being part of an institution or a franchise. If you're a big Denver Broncos fan and somebody criticizes, you know, Russell Wilson, I appreciate you can have a reasoned debate about, is Russ playing better? Is he not playing better? Do they need to look in every direction? Do they not? Do they need to draft a quarterback? Those are all fine conversations. But this lashing out in defense of somebody, you know, this isn't, you know, somebody can say something about my mom here, for goodness sakes, and say something about my sister or my wife. I mean, it's amazing with the way which people will respond with just great vitriol. And I always think to myself, what exactly are you getting out of this? How are you benefiting from this? If you're making this over-the-top, emotional, violent argument for said athletes, let's say Russell Wilson here, that's benefiting you how exactly? What is happening in your life because it's not affecting Russ at all. I know that.
Yeah.
And so that's always just an interesting aspect of our culture that I don't quite understand.
Yeah, Russ isn't going to call you up probably and say, "Hey, man, I heard you and Billy in the bar the other day. You know, thanks for having my back, man. I can sleep tonight." Mark, just quickly here, looking at this game, they've had tests, of course. TCU, we know how good they were last year. Nebraska, Matt Rule was that game better. CSU came, they brought it. They were pumped for this game. Brand new test for the Buffs coming up. They come into this one as 20-point underdogs going up against the Oregon Ducks.
You know, the first thing, just the fact that you laid out the odds there from Vegas, what the line is. Vegas doesn't know what to do with the Colorado Buffaloes.
No, they really don't.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're 21-point dogs at TCU, you win that game. You're 3-point favorites against Nebraska and beat them handily.
Yep.
You're a 3-touchdown favorite over Colorado State, and you go to double overtime. I mean, they're not sure what to do with them. And so I'm not even sure what that means in regards to Colorado.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, to me, it's another interesting test. And in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be very good. You've got Oregon, you've got USC coming up. You've got two very athletic, physical football teams that have a lot of speed. You know, right now, Oregon, I'm just starting to get really into Oregon stuff, and they're one of the more efficient offenses in the country, and they've got a very good quarterback. I mean, make no mistake about it, Bo Nix is outstanding. I mean, but then again, you're talking about a great quarterback league, and they're going to face one virtually every single week, especially the next couple of weeks here. What do you think about Nix and then Caleb Williams? Williams Heisman Trophy winner the next week. And so what a great battle to watch, you know, Shedeur Sanders as well as he is playing and being in the middle of the Heisman conversation himself. And I just think it's going to be a fantastic couple of Saturdays of football. And you've got another national audience and great time slots. And so I'm all excited about it.
Hey, Pac-12 play, best conference in the country, Mark. There you go. Oh. How about that?
No doubt about it. I mean, it's stunning. When you look at the numbers, it is, you know, we were going into the league year, saying it's the best quarterback conference in America. As it's turned out, by win percentage, it's the best league in America right now. And the irony of that is not lost on anybody, the fact that it's the last year of the league. But I'm going to enjoy it this year, I can tell you that.
Hey, I keep saying it. You don't need Netflix and TV and stuff because you have college football. It's so entertaining. It's who would have said, Pac-12, this is going to be the year that they're the best. Mark, appreciate you, your insight, man. You're a great leader, great role model for so many people out there. Love listening to you, and we think a lot of having you on the program, my friend.
All right, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. 12:51 the time. Quick break coming up. It's the whole show powered by Chevron here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Have Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.